A time, a long, long time ago. Yes, another story from Mahabharata. It was those times. There was a little boy called Ekalavya. Ekalavya lived in the forest. He was part of a tribe. You know, even today in many forests, there are people living there. They live in harmony with the nature, right? Their job is to take care of the forest. They collect all the fruits and the vegetables, and then they use the wood that's fallen from the trees, all of that for their fire
and all of that. Nature.
No, they don't take advantage. They live in harmony because they know very well if they take advantage, then the nature will be gone and then they won't have anything, right? So they know how to live in the nature. And like people like us from the cities, we get scared sometimes with all the animals, but for them, they are like their friends. So Ekalavya was a balaji. His name was Hiranyadhanush. Hiranyadhanush was a tribe leader. Means a group of villagers would form a tribe, and he was the leader of that, and Ekalavya grew there. What was interesting about Ekalavya is that he, like many other kids, he learnt a lot of other subjects in the school there, in their area. But he was really good at hunting, and hunting mainly with bow and arrow, you know, because that was something that they were doing there anyway. And they noticed, his teachers noticed that, wow, he's really good with a bow and arrow. Even at a very young age, he could take aim very well. He could shoot the arrows, even from some difficult places, he could get the arrow through and all that. So they focused on that, they trained him well, but they reached a point where they had taught everything they knew, and they told Hiranyadhanush, that his parents basically, that you know, you need to send Ekalavya to some other place where there is a better teacher for him who knows more things. He is really meant to be a great archer. Now Hiranyadhanush thought about it, he inquired and found out that there is a teacher called Dronacharya. And he will be a good teacher, someone said. At that time, he didn't know that Dronacharya has already become the teacher for the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So he told his son, you have to go find him and request him to be his student. And Ekalavya, with that in mind, says, yes, I'm going to do that. I want to become a great archer. And he loved that thing, right? When you like something and when you are good at it and when you are doing the hard work to get more of those skills, it's awesome, because then you can become the best. And he set out. It was not like modern days, just take a flight or a bus or a train, right? He had to walk through the forest. He took some rides on some chariot, some bullock carts, all of that, and finally he found out that this Dronacharya, now yes, he had a Gurukul, he was teaching students in his Gurukul, but now he is in Hastinapur. You have to go there, the big city. Yep, same Hastinapur that comes in Mahabharata. And Ekalavya arrived in Hastinapur. When he arrived there, he came up to the palace, because they said that's where you can find him. And he did see Dronacharya there. He was busy. Dronacharya was busy teaching the big set of people, the students. Who were those students?
The Pandavas and
the Kauravas, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was a big group, right? A lot of cacophonous, a lot of boys.
106.
And one girl. Yeah, he saw, wow, this is a big school, he thought. Oh, this would be fun for me. There's so many kids of my age. They were all about his age. Ekalavya probably was about maybe 13, 10, 12, like that middle schoolish type age. And he was excited, right? And he came up to the soldiers and he said, I want to meet Dronacharya. And the soldier said, well, you can't just meet him. Don't you know he's the Rajaguru? Rajaguru means the teacher of princes and the kings, teacher for those. You can't just meet him. You wait here and we will inform him, right? And so the soldiers went up to Dronacharya and told him, there is a boy here. Now Dronacharya was very busy. He didn't care much about it. He said, okay, we'll see about it. But Ekalavya just got some accommodation in Hastinapur. Every day he would come in the morning, hoping today Dronacharya would meet. And as he was there just waiting, he would sit there right by that kind of like a big pavilion. Imagine a big stadium, right, where they're practicing. He would just sit on the sides and watch them, and Dronacharya would be teaching, and Ekalavya was stunned. Wow, I never knew you could do all these things with a bow and arrow. And he kept watching and seeing what they were doing and trying to make notes of what he was seeing. This went on for a few days, and Drona had kind of forgotten, but one day he noticed, wow, I've seen this boy sitting there in the benches sort of outside. He's watching every day, and he said, go get him, but let's see what he wants. And so he called Ekalavya, and Ekalavya was excited. This is the day. My goodness, I'm going to make it. Today I'm going to get into the school. He was so excited. He came up there and he told Dronacharya that I'm Ekalavya. I'm from this place. I've come far to become your student. And Drona noticed something special in this boy already. The way he was taking notes, the way he was standing, you know, and he had his own bow and arrow, the way he was holding. And he thought, okay, let's see some of your skills, right? And Ekalavya set out to do some of his, showed off some of his skills. And oh my God, Drona, was he impressed or not? He was definitely impressed. But a thought came in Drona's mind. He thought, wait, if I include Ekalavya here, then this is means that Arjuna no longer will be the big warrior that I want him to be, the topmost archer in the world. I cannot do that. So this is an interesting moment, right? So now Drona, he it is true that because he was the Rajguru, he could, Bhishma, remember, Bhishma had asked him that he can, he should come to Hastinapur, and Dronacharya should only teach the Pandavas and the Kauravas, the only the princes. So it is true that Drona could not just take any student, right? It was not like it was his Gurukul. He was there for Bhishma and for the princes. But he, Ashwatthama was an exception. His own son was there. And he also got this thought in his mind. Well, if I do take him, it will be serious competition for Arjuna. And so he played it safe. That means he told Ekalavya, which was true. It was not like he was lying. He said, look, I cannot include you as a student here because I am a teacher for the Hastinapur princes and I only teach them. I cannot take you as a student. And Ekalavya was disappointed. He had come all the way hoping that Drona would be his teacher. And he said, all right, I understand, but I have come far and can I watch here like I have been doing what you all are practicing? He said, yeah, sure, you can do that. And so for several days and weeks, even some months, Ekalavya would come and he would watch carefully. He would take notes. He couldn't ask questions. He couldn't participate in the class. He couldn't go there and do it himself. But he was seeing everything what Drona was teaching. And he was a very quick learner, that is for sure. And he, after several months of this, he decided, well, I can't really be in the school now, right? So it's time for me to head back. And so he went back to his forest, you know, where he used to live. His parents were excited to see him. He continued his studies with his teachers. But in his mind, the most important lessons of his life was what he heard in Hastinapur from Drona. And the things that he saw there, because those were all very new, very complex, and he knew that he'll have to practice a lot. And so he had brought some clay, the same clay or the mud on which Drona had walked in that stadium, right? And he said, from today, yeah, I may have other teachers, but my main teacher, guru, would be Dronacharya. And he made an idol of that with the clay. And he, every day he wrote to his guru and started his practice, the things that he had noted down, right? And it was not easy. He is not like he could ask a question. Now, I mean, especially these days, right? You guys are on Zoom calls. You have your teacher. Your teacher is asking every day, okay, guys, do you have any questions from what we learned? And you can ask them some question, right? Now, this was not there for Ekalavya. It's not like he could make a phone call and say, oh, by the way, while shooting three arrows, you know, I'm not sure which finger should be forward. You can't ask questions like that, right? He just had to try it. And he was very patient, very resilient. He wouldn't give up. He kept trying. And over the years, he kept practicing and became pretty good. He became a really good archer. Now, several years went by. Meanwhile, in Hastinapur, the princes were having a great time. You know, I mean, they had their own personal teacher right there. And Arjuna had learnt a lot of skills. So had all the other Pandavas and the Kauravas. Right? And now, they were not yet done with their studies, but they had finished a good part of it. They were in their teens now, you know, and late teens. And one day, Dronacharya, along with some of the kids, you know, some Pandavas, some Kauravas, had set out in the forest, you know, for a trip, like a field trip. And it so happened that they traveled quite a bit. It was a many-day trip. And they arrived in that same part of the forest where Ekalavya's tribe lived. As they were walking through that forest, they came up to a dog. It was a very interesting dog. It was quite a big dog, right? And it looked like it was barking, but there was no sound. No sound was coming from its mouth, right? And they looked closely and they watched that in its mouth, there were quite a few arrows. But the interesting thing was those arrows were not really bothering the dog. It was not hurting the dog or anything. It was just there in a way that you couldn't hear the barking. The dog could not bark. It was trying to bark, but it was not hurting it. It just couldn't bark, right? And Arjuna was stunned. Wow, who could have shot arrows like this? That is not hurting the dog. There is no blood. It's not in pain. But it cannot bark. How could it be possible? He was thinking. And Drona was also amazed. Wow, he thought, I can do this. Drona was thinking in his mind. But I haven't taught any such skills with archery. And they were wondering who it is. And they followed the dog and it went up to like a settlement, you know, a set of villages. Sorry, a village with a set of huts. And they inquired and then found out that this was done by Ekalavya, a boy called Ekalavya. Drona thought, wow, that name sounds vaguely familiar. They went up to him and Drona had forgotten completely about Ekalavya. He had grown up. He was a tall boy now. And Arjuna was still wondering, who is it? Because Arjun, whenever he saw anyone with a bow and arrow or anything related to archery, he would be very alert because he wanted to make sure he was better than them, right? Always. You know that thing from Karna too, when Karna challenges them. It happens in many places. And now to hear that Ekalavya, this boy standing in this teenager standing in front of him had done it, that was amazing. And Drona said, wow, who could be that great teacher who has taught you such amazing skills? I would love to meet him. Is he here? And Ekalavya said, yes, he is very much here. He said, wow, then please immediately let me meet him. And he said, are you kidding? You are my teacher, you know, Dronacharya. Because Ekalavya immediately recognized. He had spent time, he had seen Dronacharya for several days, right? And it was his guru. Every day he was thinking about him. You are my teacher. And then Ekalavya told him everything that had happened many, many years ago. How he had come, how he had asked to be part of the school, and how Dronacharya. But how did you learn all these things? Well, these are all your lessons. I had taken notes. He showed him his notes. And Drona was very impressed. Right? But now this time there was no doubt in Drona's mind. He said, wait a minute. Now things have moved ahead a lot. Clearly Ekalavya is a better archer. I don't even have to ask him to display his skills. I just saw it. Right? And if I let this be, I cannot make Arjun the great warrior. And this is an important point you should note. As a teacher, right? A lot of these kind of professions, if you think about teaching, medicine, right, or firefighters, right, all of these kind of jobs, they are not looking at who the person is. Are you a prince? You know, when you go to the doctor, do they ask you, do you come from a royal family? Oh, if only then I can help you with your fever. No, they don't do that, right? Or your teachers in your school, do they say, hey, you guys, do you live in a big mansion? Then I'm going to teach you. If you live in a small home, no, never, right? They never do that. But Drona, he did that something like that. He knew that if he doesn't ask for something from Ekalavya now, Arjun is going to become he's not going to be the greatest warrior, greatest archer. It will be Ekalavya. And so Drona came up with a plan right then and there, which was very, very unfortunate for Ekalavya. And he said, Ekalavya, this is wonderful, but you know the tradition of Guru Dakshina, don't you? He said. So what is Guru Dakshina? Usually in those days, at the end of the training, the student would have to give anything that the teacher asks, right? The Dakshina means a token of appreciation, you know, of to thank them. And they have to give what the guru asks. And you know that, right? Dronacharya asks his students to go and bring Drupad. That was his Guru Dakshina from the Pandavas and Kauravas. Go attack the kingdom and Panchal and bring Drupad. That was, and I don't want you to kill him. I wanted to bring him alive. That will be my Guru Dakshina.
He has some strange Guru Dakshina.
Well, if that was part of that story, right? You know how he had to do that because he had made that promise. So here he says to Ekalavya, where is my Guru Dakshina? And Ekalavya says, I would be honored. He's a very good student. He said, I would be honored to give whatever you ask, whatever that I can give, I'll give for sure. In that case, Drona says, I want your right thumb. Without even thinking, Ekalavya takes a dagger, chops off his right thumb and gives it right there to Drona. And Drona feels very, very, very embarrassed and very sad. But at the same time, you know, he's going through mixed emotions. He knows what he has done. He knows what he has done is wrong for Ekalavya, clearly. Because think about it. Without the right thumb, can he shoot an arrow properly? No way. I mean, it's going to be really difficult for him. The right thumb, he can use his other hand, correct, other fingers, correct. But he won't be as good, right? We all have a strong hand. Yeah, he can try the other way, but he's not going to be the top archer. And Drona knew that. That's why he asked. And that's really sad for Ekalavya. And with that, Drona guaranteed that Ekalavya could not challenge Arjun. But it was clearly unfair for Ekalavya. And so you see in Mahabharata, the characters, they are not black or white. That means they are not just good or bad. Many times good people make bad choices. True. And there are also cases where bad people make good choices. You see that, right? And they're all humans. Like, for example, how Duryodhan comes to Karna's rescue. It's true that he wanted Arjuna to be humiliated, but clearly he made him the prince. Yudhishthir could have also done that, right? Yudhishthir could have said, I will make Karna the prince of some small kingdom, but he didn't do that. Duryodhan does that. So anyway, there are instances like that. And with that, Ekalavya continued to be a great warrior. He continued to do that, but clearly he was not the top archer anymore. It was going to be Arjun, as you know in other stories. So that brings to the end of this story, the end.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.